Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 184. I've got both Will and Henry here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, boys?
Pretty good.
Yep.
It is a Saturday morning. We were recording this podcast pretty soon after just a couple days after we recorded our last one.
I wouldn't say it's still morning, but it's like...
It's
early in the day.
Anything before noon counts as morning.
Actually,
it's 11:48.
11:48. So for...
It's the morning.
For 12 more minutes, it is morning, and then it becomes noon, and then it becomes afternoon. That's how it works.
I think the morning is like... 8 to 10:59, then the noon is like 11 to 1:59, and the afternoon is 2 to 4:59. It all works out perfectly. And,
I mean,
and then evening is 5 to 7:59.
Your scientist was so...
I think you're wrong. Anything before noon counts as morning, in my opinion. In my very definitive and correct opinion. Anything before noon is morning. Noon is noon.
Whatever.
I see what you're saying, though. It sort of feels like the middle of the day now already.
Yeah, I do really
Although, does noon really feel like the middle of the day to you? Because it's not really the middle of your waking day.
I was actually thinking about it. Like, most people spend, like, 3 or 4 hours before noon. And, like, that's really only a portion of the day.
Yeah, let's say you get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. You go to bed at 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night.
Even if you get up at 7,
then... That means you're up for, like, 10 hours and you're... You know, or I mean, you're up for
like 15
after
hours?
Afternoon, you're up for 10 hours or 11 hours. But before noon, you're only up for, say, 5 hours.
Yeah, even if you got up at 7 in that scenario, then it would still be a third of the day.
So noon doesn't really feel like it's in the middle of the day. Like the middle of the day would be somewhere like an afternoon, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, the reason we're recording a podcast so soon after the last one is because Mom and I are going to be leaving you to fend for yourselves this week. We're going on a little vacation.
Oh, no.
Yep.
We got Mom a mystery vacation for Christmas to Key West. We talked about that in the podcast and all of the confusion over who Kanye West was. Mom doesn't really want me to bring it up again because she thinks I misrepresent the situation. But
no, she thought
anyway,
it was Shaq. It's a pretty simple... situation.
Anyway, we are going to be going to Key West on Wednesday. We'll get up and get you guys all ready for school and make sure you're where you need to be. And then Elizabeth's going to be here.
Yay.
Watching you guys. You like Elizabeth, don't you?
Yes.
I hate her.
I think she's going to be here for part of this podcast. She's on her way here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Or she will be on her way here pretty soon. On the last podcast, we talked about how I was excited about watching the movie Weathering with You, which is the new movie, animated movie by the guy who did Your Name, which is a movie we all like.
Yeah, and I think it's
awesome.
I think it might be Phoebe's favorite animated movie.
It might be her favorite movie of all time. She really likes
it. Yeah, it's one of those.
Phoebe doesn't get to see the movie because she is serving as a full-time missionary in Southern California, and she doesn't get to watch movies while she's a missionary, but when she gets back, I'm sure she'll see it.
We do get to tell her way too much about movies coming out that she doesn't care about, though.
Yeah. So we, because we get to talk to her once a week, but...
and send, like, emails and stuff.
Elizabeth's coming here. She's going to watch the movie with us, and she'll probably be on the end of this podcast, and we'll go get some lunch and then go watch the movie. But are you guys looking forward to Mom and Dad leaving and being taken care of by your older sister?
I am.
Elizabeth?
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah.
I wonder what that will be like. I remember when I was a kid and my parents went away, I don't know. It seems like there were some things that always happened. One, do you guys even know what a TV dinner is?
Like watching TV
watching
while
TV
eating
at
dinner.
That would make sense. I mean,
you
if
take
I told
the TV,
you what a TV dinner is.
So you take down the
like
TV and you eat it for dinner.
A quick meal
so
that you eat in front of the TV.
Kind of. They used to have these things called Swanson's Hungry Man TV dinners. They might still have them. I don't know. I'd have to search the frozen section of the grocery store. But what it was, I know they don't have them like they used to have them. What it used to be, it was like this metal tray that had little compartments on it, and it was covered with foil. Of course, it was in a box, but you'd buy it in the frozen section. You'd bring it home, and then you'd take it out of the box in this metal tray, and you'd put it in the oven, and you'd let it heat up for, I don't know how long it took, like a half an hour or something. And then you peel back the foil and you might have like a Salisbury steak and some potatoes and maybe like a little cobbler in one thing.
So it's like,
and a little bit of vegetables, some, I don't know, green beans or something.
So it's like a beta version of Lunchables.
It's kind of like, yeah, like so the like original version of Lunchables, except they were like hot food and they weren't very good for you. I think they still have them. I want to say they still have them, but they don't look the same as they did when I was a kid. I remember when my mom would be out of town, or my mom and dad would both be out of town. That would be like the sort of thing we would eat. We'd go get some Swanson's Hungry Man TV dinners. I guess it's equivalent of like us stocking up the freezer with Hot Pockets.
Right? Oh, yeah. I like Hot Pockets.
Were Should they we good? Do that, like Hot Pockets or frozen pizza?
I'd be down for that, yeah.
Yeah.
But were they good?
I liked them. I don't know if they were good or if I just liked them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't good, like, by any sort of objective standard.
You mean they weren't high quality?
Yeah, they were pretty bad quality, and they were kind of bad for you. They were really greasy.
Now this just makes you think of airplane food.
They were kind of like airplane food.
Airplane food's gross.
Which makes me feel sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
But I remember we used to be able to, like, my mom would take us to the store and we could pick out stuff that was, like, easy to make that we could make while mom and dad were out of town, or while mom was out of town. I remember that. So we should do that. We should take you guys to the store and get you some food.
And some Hot Pockets.
You guys have a little more options because Elizabeth will be here and she can drive. She could maybe take you some places or go to the grocery store and get stuff. And I feel like you guys can... Maybe, well, Elizabeth for sure, because she's been living on her own for a while. I can make
macaroni and cheese.
But she can cook for you if you need to.
Honestly.
Maybe more than I could. I could make macaroni and cheese when I was your age. So
I think one of these days, I really want to bike to and from school.
Oh, yeah?
Just like, probably on a Friday, because those are the days I don't have seminary, but I think that would kind of be fun.
Ride your bike to the school and
just get up a little early. Yeah.
That might be good.
It's only like... Like a mile and a half away, maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 miles.
Definitely doable. Would you ride on the sidewalks?
Yeah.
I think you can ride on the... I'm not sure exactly what the laws are in Texas if you're allowed to ride...
You can ride on the sidewalks. People do it all the time.
I know people do it all the time, but I don't know if the laws... I know, like, you're allowed to ride on the street, too, and if you ride your bike on the street, cars are supposed to give you the entire lane.
Yeah.
But it's a little dangerous because some cars are not very polite about that. And they're like,
yeah, even just seeing people with bikes on the road just stresses me out.
Yeah, it kind of makes me nervous.
It makes me a little nervous, too.
I know they have like lights and stuff and they're probably really skilled.
Another thing that makes me nervous is, so I ride the bus home. So if I miss the bus and then Elizabeth was like getting Will or something, then I'd probably have to walk home.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean...
Which I know way to walk home, but also that's...
That wouldn't be
Well, you'll
terrible.
Have your phone and Elizabeth will have her phone.
That's true.
And so she could probably come pick you up if you need to, but don't miss the bus.
In sixth grade...
Oh, I won't.
In sixth grade, when I went to the other middle school until I got transferred, we actually could walk home. And sometimes we walked fully home. Usually, like, I would walk partway home and then... Mom would just like pick us up halfway or like a quarter of the way through. And I remember one time, like, you go down a street called like Washington, and like if you go far enough, then there's this field that's like, it's like a Super Mario Bros. Warp zone. Because like,
yeah, it is.
You can go through like,
I don't
certain...
know what you mean by that, so please explain.
You know
so
how you can in go the first through... Super Mario Bros., there's like, in the underground levels, you can go over the track and then go into a warp zone.
It's like,
but there, it's like, okay. It's connected to like everything.
Yeah, it's connected to like different corners of the neighborhood.
Okay.
Apparently, it's only a shortcut for us. And
well,
like,
yeah, but also.
You just like walk through like one part and suddenly
it's
you're
cool.
like.
You're in a field.
On the street parallel to our street.
Mm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I've got a couple of things on the list. I jotted down a list of things we could talk about on the podcast in this first segment. Mm. And I have a couple of topics that may be a little awkward for each of you. Are you okay delving into some awkward subjects?
Oh, no.
No, let's do it.
Okay, first of all, I would like to talk about the fact that the chairs in this house seem to be breaking.
Yes, that is true.
Okay.
Henry keeps on breaking all the chairs.
No, it's actually Will
Henry.
And also Dad
Henry.
One time.
Henry, come on, man.
But Will's broken two chairs and Dad's broken one.
I
and now
actually,
I think...
So I didn't actually technically, the chair that I sat in didn't actually break. It got a crack in it that we noticed afterwards, and I glued it together, and it's still functional.
You can make these arguments for me, too, though.
William, on the other hand, snapped some chairs in half.
Yeah, not even when I sat on one normally, I'd like to point out.
It just broke, like, one of the bar things on the side.
One of them, I am not an expert in sitting on chairs.
So we've got these chairs. They're kind of wooden chairs, and they've got, like, a cross in the back. They're a really common chair right now. You see them, like, in restaurants and stuff. It's got wicker on the seat, and it's got, like, kind of two posts and then a cross in the back.
Like an X shape.
Dad is an expert on chairs. He went to chair school. He knows what he's talking about.
I studied chairs in college. I got a minor in chairs. Indeed. But these are, they're pretty comfortable chairs, and we haven't had them that long. We had some bigger chairs previous to these, and they lasted a long time. They were very sturdy. But then we finally get rid of those, and we got these. And these lasted us for a while until recently.
Until they started breaking.
William, how many chairs have you broken in the last 2 days?
Two. cough.
And I don't know why. I don't know why suddenly. I don't know what's changed.
One of them,
the chairs are getting worn out.
Okay,
that's
one of them I
kind of
sat in badly. The other one, I sat in normally and it still broke. Although I feel like...
No, but it took a bit for it to break. Like, he sat on it normally, and then, like, there's a second between him sitting on it and then it just suddenly breaking.
It almost seems like something that would happen on a prank show. Like, you're just sitting in your chair and suddenly, like...
It does.
Now, watch this. Push a button. Boom.
So it does kind of hurt to know that I've now, like, sat in a chair and broken the chair, because that's kind of, like... That's not... That's kind of looked down upon.
I don't think it's anything, like, about you personally, other than I sort of feel like you're coming in at a weird angle or something. I don't know.
You do sort of lean on the back, which might be part of the problem, but...
Maybe I need to take
classes. Also, they're falling apart, so...
Maybe I need to take classes in, like, chair sitting.
Appropriate chair sitting, that might be appropriate.
Yes.
And then you can study it in college like I did and get a minor in chairs. It's an introductory course to chairs. Appropriate sitting. So, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to get a couple of these chairs replaced, but...
Yeah.
And then we're just going to have to be really, really careful, especially...
But as of recording
one of the people on this conversation.
But as of recording this... Too. As of recording this, me and Dad are sitting on, like, these metal foldable chairs, and because they're kind of uncomfortable, I put a pillow in the back of mine.
I'm sitting on the usual chair, and I feel very nervous.
I'm sitting in a folding
I got you a folding chair, Will.
I actually sat on one of these chairs, and it accidentally exploded
if
one time.
You broke one during the podcast... How would that be?
Can we make it happen on the podcast?
Let's just halfway through, like, okay.
Can we make it not happen on the podcast?
I think
it's a better segment.
Just halfway through, like, okay, so we're having these lobster-flavored candy bars. Let's see how it snap. What was that?
It wasn't the candy bar. So that's potentially awkward subject number one, potentially awkward segment number two.
Oh, boy.
Or question number two. I'm
looking
at Henry.
Wait, what?
Did you know, Henry, today you will potentially go to your first church dance?
Oh, wait, that's a today thing?
That's today? It's been a lot lately. Huh.
So in our church, you know, they have youth dances. It's kind of a big thing. Usually there's like one a month. And you have to be either 14 or you have to be like in the 14-year-old age group.
Yeah, like you have to be turned 14 that year.
Henry is now in the 14-year-old age group, because he'll turn 14 this year in 2020.
I kind of forgot Henry's
and
age.
And there is a church dance tonight, so Henry can go to it if he wants to.
Oof. It's been a lot lately.
How does this make you feel?
I guess I'll go to it.
Oof. No, Henry.
Hashtag oof.
I'm very excited. Okay. Let's forget that happened. Anyways.
No saying hashtag oof on this podcast.
Those are two things that do not go well together.
Okay.
Anyways, moving on. So, I'm actually very excited because now I have someone, like, to be awkward with.
Just
so
to be clear, let me clarify here. The only reason I say hashtag oof is to make my children uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. And even on that level, it doesn't work. Anyways.
Oh, it just did.
Well, you know what I mean.
I think it
works. We're so derailed by hashtag oof.
But let's delve into Henry's feelings about his first church dance.
I think the church dance is going to be fun.
All of them are a mixture of, like, really fun and really awkward.
Yeah.
And usually, more times than not, you walk away from it being, like, That was a good experience.
Will you hang out with your brother at the church dance? Or probably. Will you hang out with other folk?
Probably both.
No, I'm too uncool for him.
Maybe you'll hang out with all the hot chicks. And let me be clear, I'm only saying hot chicks to make both of you uncomfortable. I would not ordinarily say hot chicks.
All right, I'm officially done with this podcast. Bye.
I'm confused as to why there would be baby chickens at a church dance.
Yeah, why would there be baby chickens?
And why are they?
Are they like hatching eggs?
I'm confusing
eggs
you
there?
With this old people slang.
Is that like a hatching eggs thing? Do they do
okay.
that?
Okay,
they do. There's like a little. There's a little hatchatorium.
Okay, I think
with
we
a
need
heat
to
lamp and some eggs, and you can see them peck at their shells.
I think we need to try hard to not get derailed by Dad's boomer
humor.
The heat
lamp makes them hot. You see.
Dad, stop giving us boomer humor. Anyways,
boomer
steak dance.
Hashtag boomer humor.
Oh, boomer anyways, humor. Steak dance. They're really awkward, but they're also really fun. And
sometimes
usually,
they're fun. I mean, I would imagine some are funner than others.
So it's basically middle school, but a dance.
I've heard some more times,
really awkward,
I've heard
but
some
really
complaints
fun.
About the DJs
yeah.
recently.
More times than not, they're fun. The
yeah,
last
apparently
one,
the New Year's, at the New Year's one, it was the songs were too loud.
Can you give me a list of like 5 songs they play at every single church dance? Do they play Cha-Cha Slide?
Oh, no. You are trying to make me uncomfortable. Yeah, they sometimes play Cha-Cha Slide. Oh, they do the Cupid Shuffle more.
Cupid Shuffle, yeah.
they do the EFY one that has like different dance moves to it.
YMCA?
No.
No.
The...
I don't know what it's talking about.
I don't even know what it's called. I'm not sure if anyone knows what it's called, honestly. Cotton Eye Joe sometimes.
Oh, no. Nope.
Old Town Road has been showing up a lot lately.
Yeah, that's probably accurate.
Yeah.
It's, usually you walk away from it being like, that was a good time.
Someone posted on Twitter, there was a Spotify playlist of like songs that make white people really excited. And
Cotton
Eye Joe was on it before.
Oh, no.
Was Old Town Road on there?
I believe so. I mean, if not, it should have been.
I mean,
although everybody likes Old Town Road, so it's
okay,
not specifically white people. But
I think everyone secretly loves Old Town Road.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I think everyone
everyone secretly hates Cotton Eye Joe and not secretly hates it.
Old Town Road is like both sort of a silly song and kind of stupid, but also totally a jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like the people making it are aware that it's kind of dumb as well.
Yeah.
People who are making it are also very aware that they can make money off of it.
Yeah.
There's now like 10 remixes.
So that's happening. That'll be exciting. Big milestone for Henry,
I guess.
What else is going on? Last night, you guys, Mom and I went on a date and you guys watched a movie.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
It was not a current movie. It was not a Marvel movie or a Star Wars movie.
We saw 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Okay, I'm not sure whether I liked this or not.
It was not released in 2001.
My prediction was going to be that William would love it and Henry would be like, eh.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did warn you guys,
but it's very, by today's movie standards, it's very slow.
By 60s standards, it was slow.
So, it's one of the, for me personally, it was one of those movies where like 2/3 of it are like, oh my gosh, they're kind of wasting their time, like what's the point of this? And by the end, it all feels worth it.
I don't know if you guys are aware
of
this. When the movie came out in the 60s, it was a huge hit, and it was the type of movie people would like go to multiple times. They would go to over and over.
Can see that.
And it was kind of one of the first movies that was like that. But I think one of the reasons why the pace didn't bother people as much back then
is
because
the graphics were amazing.
Yeah, the special effects
were
like unlike
was
anything
released.
I'd ever seen,
it,
so it kind of
it
blew
looks
them
like
away.
It was released in 2001.
Yeah, it holds up really well. And if you think about it, like a lot of the things that Stanley Kubrick did in that movie, it's much more like scientifically accurate than like Star Wars movies.
Also,
George Lucas made the decision. It would be more fun if there were sounds like pew, pew, pew.
And he's right.
But in
and
space,
asteroid
there's no sound.
Belts would be like and, a lot of like actually.
Yeah. And
Stanley Kubrick,
asteroids.
like he stuck with that. I watched part of it with you guys when I got home. But when they show a scene in space, there's no sound.
And I will
unless
say,
there's like music in the soundtrack.
I will say, even for a 60s movie, it's still pretty slow. Like when they show like there are a couple like, scenes that are like a bit unnecessarily slow. Like when they show someone like. When they show some sort of like little disc thing going down, there's like a minute long of it just.
Okay, the part that bothered me the
part
most
of that is to build suspense, though, too, for like the tense parts.
Yeah, but also, One part that bothered me that I think was extremely unnecessary and should have just been completely cut out of the movie, like, I have no doubt about it, is the 3-minute black screen before it showed anything else.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
This is a real thing, and I hate it.
Is it like, well, is there music?
Or it has the sounds of the, what's it called?
So, I think...
Monolith?
The monolith. That has monolith sounds there.
Oh, interesting.
But it doesn't have anything else.
I think a lot of old movies have just, like, a dark screen for the first couple minutes. I think that's just a thing. Like, how it had an intermission.
Yeah, stuff maybe. Like that. It might have been something that it's just, like, while people are taking their seat or something, or...
Anyways, this movie... The last, like, half hour of this movie is so insane and so off the
wall. It is
okay,
crazy.
But and you have no idea parts. What's happening. It's more like the last 40 minutes. It's like, there's 20 minutes of, like, sort of, like, action movie-ish stuff, and then 20 minutes of...
Yeah,
of
well,
something.
It's definitely structured. Like, it's got a definite act structure of, like, different parts of the movie. And it's based on a classic book by Arthur C. Clarke, who is, like, a classic sci-fi author. So it's a very, like, well thought out movie, but it's also very, like, it changes. There's different parts of it that tell different parts of the story.
It's just one of those movies that, like...
Can we spoil something about the movie?
It's a movie that came out, what, 50 years ago,
I think. That's true.
I think you can spoil it. If for some reason you don't want to be spoiled about the movie 2001 A Space Odyssey...
Yeah, like, skip ahead, like, skip 10 ahead. Minutes in this
then
podcast or
just
something.
Just go watch the movie.
I don't think we'll be talking about it forever.
If you haven't watched it yet, then go watch it.
But it's not like it's a movie that's in theaters now and you haven't had a chance to watch
Although, then again, I never heard about the weird ending. But basically, like, the first act is just, like, establishing, like...
The first act is just a whole bunch of chimpanzees.
I
actually,
like,
loved that part.
The Dawn of Man, where, like, they're discovering tools made out of bones, and then they immediately turn it into a weapon. It's supposed to, like, symbolize, like... weapons.
And then it's like technology.
By the way,
and then there's, like, a super cool transition where, like...
he, like, throws a bone
throws
to the
bone
air,
and then
it becomes
it cuts,
a spaceship.
No, actually, this part was confirmed by some of the people who made the movie. Not the director, but some of the people who worked on it. Basically, it cut from the first weapon to, like, a nuke. To, like, a nuclear weapon that was in space.
Uh-huh. By the way, we figured all of this out on our own. Like, just completely in our head.
What?
We analyzed this movie completely on our own.
It's a movie that's been analyzed.
No, we figured it out all on our own.
That is cool. That's a very famous scene where
it goes from
the
first
the air, and then it becomes like a
like
is it a spaceship?
A nuclear weapon.
It's a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, so it goes from like the first weapon to like one of the most deadly weapons.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool symbolism, and the nice thing is that the special effects actually do hold up, because that's
really
something that a lot of movies like don't have. It's
something only really present in like the first Star Wars.
But like
which was released 9 years later.
All the stuff with Hal, who by the way is a fantastic character, is like weird and creepy and
Hal
just
is
weird.
Artificial intelligence computer runs the spaceship. And
this is the second act part, like, after everything's already been established. Like, it's the part where, like, Hal, like, it sets up Hal and how he's, like, a flawless robot. And then he accidentally makes a mistake and, like, one of the crewmates dies because of it. So the main character, I think his name's Dave. Yeah, Dave. He has to, like, try and get back in so that Hal wouldn't kill him too.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie, you know
really
about this
cool
whole
scene.
There's like this sort of confrontation between one of the astronauts and the computer that runs the ship.
Yeah, and it's so messed up.
A little bit of a tangent. Like, while you guys were watching the movie, I was like, hey, did you guys know that Hal is like, it's like a alphabet shift from IBM?
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it is.
And you guys were like, what's IBM?
Yeah, I had no idea what you're talking
about.
I
knew it was a computer thing.
So IBM is International Business Machines. They were like the biggest computer company in the world for like many, many years. Mm. They kind of created computers.
Wait, what
That's
was
smart.
Were they around when
they,
a Space
they invented
Odyssey
the PC computer?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but they also invented like a lot of they're still
Microsoft,
around today.
I'm pretty sure,
they're still around today.
I'm pretty sure Microsoft was like involved with them for
a
while.
So Microsoft, they created the computer. Microsoft, what the biggest thing Bill Gates did is he created an operating system for personal computers, the MS-DOS, and then a lot of other software after that. They're basically a software company. And then they went into like hardware, like the Xbox and some other things. But mainly they were, that was their big thing, is they created an operating system for PCs that were mostly built by IBM and then other companies that copied IBM.
Okay.
So anyway, so if you take like, if you take the letters IBM and you shift them one place.
Was IBM around in the then?
Alphabet, it becomes HAL.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, but
did IBM exist then?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And everyone associates everyone in that time associated computers with IBM.
Okay.
Because they were this massive computer company.
But a bit of an elephant in the room. The last 30 minutes, which are like kind of the most interpretive and weird parts of the movie, is my favorite stuff ever.
It's really trippy. Yeah.
What happens
it's
is so once weird. Dave unplugs Hal, he goes into this weird dream area where he basically ascends to the next level of humanity.
There is a time jump, yeah.
But yeah, it's just him freaking out and going insane and you kind of get the idea that he's kind of marveling at how vast and infinite the universe is. And that's an idea that's been done a million times.
So,
according to the
fetus that is just floating in space.
Yeah, that made no sense, and I couldn't even interpret what it meant at that point, but I still loved it.
I had to read some stuff on it to fully understand it, but basically, there's, a one-hour scene of just, weird effects that are, super colorful.
Not one hour, but
10 minutes straight, and it does get a little boring, but it's sort of, hypnotic, and apparently it's, him just realizing, how vast the universe is, and also him sort of, ascending to a new level of understanding.
It's also kind of and I don't pretend to know everything about it, but it also has a lot to do with philosophy and the meeting of science and technology with God and intelligence.
Yeah.
What is out there in the universe that's causing technological advancement?
I will say.
And whether it's aliens or God or a higher being or something, it's something that I think you're supposed to think about.
I will say, at the very end of the movie, Henry really didn't like it by the time it ended until he did his homework and read up on it. But at the very end of the movie, I got a moment where I could say, that movie is amazing. You just don't get it.
Yeah.
This is
it's such a movie bro thing to say.
Yeah, it's like Donnie Darko.
It is kind of like the original movie bro movie, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
it's a good movie. I don't mean to say it's not a good movie. It's a really good movie, but it's the type of movie that people who are into movies.
And I like the monolith. I like the idea of the monolith.
But this movie is
it's good. It's a well-made movie.
The monolith basically represents nothing, but also represents questioning what's out there and discovery and stuff.
But if you think that stuff Donnie Darko is weird and interpretive, this movie takes it to the next level.
Which you haven't seen, by the way.
Well,
you just read about it.
I've seen clips of it.
Yeah.
But
and I think now that you've seen it, when you watch other movies, you realize that there are a lot of movies that were made afterward that sort of reference it.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2001's I think it might be one of the most influential movies ever.
Certainly in sci-fi. It was one of the most influential sci-fi movies for sure.
I'm not sure if it's more influential than Star Wars or not, but
maybe not, but I think it's similarly influential.
Yeah.
It's just one of those movies that you really just have to take your time with it. And even though it feels really slow at times, you just have to just keep on watching because it'll all be worth it in the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, the last 20 minutes are basically just hypnotism.
Yeah. It's a 9 out of 10 though. It's the weirdest movie I've ever seen.
I can't rate it. It's not really something that you can rate, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess. But it is so weird, so bizarre. I love it. Go see it.
So one other thing before we move on to the news. I know, speaking of sci-fi, William, you wanted to talk a little bit about the new season of Doctor Who that just started. I think there have been, 3 episodes so far?
Or yes.
There's 2 episodes that were a 2-parter and then another episode?
Yes. I really like it so far.
Yeah.
Especially
the beginning 2-parter.
So I fall into the category of audiences that were pretty disappointed by the last season. It had its moments, and there were parts that I really liked about it, but overall it is probably one of, not the absolute weakest Doctor Who season, but one of them, in my opinion.
Since the reboot you're talking about.
Yeah, for me, my issues with it was, it didn't feel like it had enough stakes, it didn't feel really like Doctor Who, but this season specifically feels so much like Doctor Who, and it feels a lot more fresh, I think.
Yeah. Doctor Who is like one of those cornerstone kind of, you know, nerd shows.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you can definitely see like people who put Doctor Who stickers on their car. It's like they're part of the, you know, they like Doctor Who. They probably like
comic books. It's a pretty nerdy like show.
Star Wars, yeah, maybe Star Trek.
The first two episodes, I'll have to be careful not to spoil anything, but the first two episodes are kind of like parodying like spy movies.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, like, there's a James Bond thing going on.
Yeah, and the aliens, like, I feel like they wrote the aliens to kind of sound like a Stephen Moffat alien, which mm-hmm. I really liked.
Yeah.
And the third episode is just like, third episode is written by the person who wrote It Takes You Away from last season, which was this like really weird, and speaking of weird and off the wall things, there's this weird episode of like about alternate dimensions and stuff, and you had no idea what would happen next.
Yeah.
I think it's really good so far.
Yeah. So going from science fiction to science! We got a very science heavy news.
So much science
this year. So let's jump right into the news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Too much science.
Yeah.
Scientists, speaking of science, are learning much, much more than they've ever known before about one of the coolest animals on the earth, the giant squid.
Oh boy.
Do you guys know about giant squids?
I keep forgetting that those things exist.
Yeah.
You know, before about 10 or 20 years ago, some people didn't think they really did exist.
Yeah, they sound like mythological creatures.
They do. They sound like a kraken.
They are the basis for the kraken. So sailors came up with this, you know, mythical beast called the kraken because of giant squids. Like, and because no one had ever really captured one, they were like, well, I think that's just a story that sailors tell. But it turns out that they're real. They are real. And the other thing that's real is sometimes sperm whales will get into battles with giant squids.
They get into, like, battles? That's awesome.
That's actually really cool.
Sperm whales are also, like, really big and live in the same habitat as the giant squid. One of the reasons they knew that giant squids existed was because they found beaks from giant squids inside sperm whales.
I forgot that they have beaks.
Of course they have beaks. They're squids. So, giant squids, the thing that's in 2006, I believe it was, they captured some video footage of a live giant squid just off Japan's Ogasawara Islands. And people actually saw what a giant squid looks like alive. And then they were like, all right, well, we know for sure. Before that, they had seen giant squids because dead squids would wash up on shore. So they've been able to examine them that way. And as I mentioned a minute ago, like the beaks of giant squids inside the bellies of sperm whales. But now scientists are starting to sequence their genome for the first time,
which is really interesting.
So the genome, do you know what a genome is? Have you learned this in science?
I feel like I have, but I don't remember.
Is like the entire DNA for a species.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
So the human genome is one of the longest ones. It's very complex because humans are very complex organisms.
Yeah.
The giant squid's genome is also pretty long. It's about 90% as long as the human genome. And I'm flipping ahead. This is kind of a long article, so I may have to flip back and forth. The genome for a giant squid has about 2.7 billion DNA base pairs, which makes it about 90% the size of the human squid. Some of the things that they're hoping to discover from sequencing the genome is how it grew so big, because giant squid get to be about 40 feet long. Which is really big.
Yeah.
And they're hoping that by examining the DNA, they might discover kind of the markers that caused it to grow so big. The other things they're hoping to find out are...
Wait, they're 40 inches long or 40 feet long?
Feet.
40 feet long.
They're big.
So, you know, about the size of this entire room that we're in. And then you think about those tentacles kind of all over the place. Yeah.
Wait, that's not including the tentacles?
That is the tentacles. But if you think about, like, the tentacles can stretch.
Oh.
Yeah, that's, like, from tip to tail.
It's so creepy that there's
but
just,
then
like...
they can, like, all fan out. I'm making hand motions, and I'm sure all of our podcast listeners can see crazy tentacles going everywhere.
Like, just imagine Dad with like crazy 20-foot tentacles. But I feel like it's just so like haunting imagining this giant creature with just this gigantic eye. Mm-hmm. Like something about it having one eye is just like what really.
Yeah, and having a beak just makes it like just a little bit more scary for me.
Yeah, so one of the scientists who's working on this project says a genome is the first step for answering a lot of questions about the biology of these very weird animals. While cephalopods have many complex and elaborate features, they are thought to have evolved independently of the vertebrates. By comparing their genomes, we can ask, are cephalopods and vertebrates built the same way, or are they built differently? They did not get the DNA from a live giant squid because they're really difficult to find. They got it from a dead one that washed up on the shore. But it's the first time they've ever tried to sequence the genome of a giant squid.
It's a giant 40-foot squid washed up on the shore.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just your average giant 40-foot squid.
Imagine if you're just like trying to look for shells or like sand dollars by the sea,
and then you're like, accidentally
encounter a 40-foot squid.
And then you just look at this tiny thing on the ground. It's like, oh, wait, that's a 40-foot squid.
Oh, another thing I got to tell you about giant squids. I learned this from this article. I'd never heard this before. They have really strange brains.
Oh, boy.
I imagine.
Their brains are the shape of a donut.
Oh, weird.
Huh. It says, one of the truly remarkable characteristics of the giant squid is its brain, which is rather complex and strangely shaped. The Smithsonian Magazine describes the brain as shaped like a donut, and weirdly enough, its esophagus actually runs through the hole in the middle of the donut.
Oh.
But here's the catch.
Brain food, I guess?
Weird.
While the brain is colossally complicated, it's actually pretty small as the share of the giant squid's full body mass. While a giant squid can weigh up to 1 ton based on the carcasses that are washed ashore, the limited video evidence we've seen of them, that her brain only weighs about 100 grams. Which is just over 1/5 of a pound.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Really weird and really awesome creatures, the giant squid.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to share their story?
I will.
All right.
All right, we got even more science. Space science, specifically.
Oh, boy.
This is like...
Science!
This is like the trippiest podcast episode yet.
And it gets even awesomer.
All right. So, NASA wants to grow a moon base... NASA wants to grow a moon base out of mushrooms. It says NASA scientists are exploring a peculiar strategy for building a moon base and other off-world structures, growing them on-site out of living mushrooms.
Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should.
I mean, it's not
This doesn't sound like the premise for a horror movie.
Not actually
movie,
a bad
it?
Idea.
Like, I'm going to this remote space station, but the space station around me is living.
I mean,
doesn't that thing seem like something it could be like the
it's a mushroom
basis
moon.
For a like a sci-fi horror movie?
NASA has done much weirder things.
Like maybe the space base doesn't like me being there, and maybe it's going to start to destroy me.
Whoa.
I think NASA has done much weirder things before.
There's a movie that I want to see. I can't remember what it's rated, but it's maybe something we should watch together if it's PG-13. There's a movie called Moon. It's about a guy who's on a space station on the moon, and he starts to go crazy.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. But anyways, the story about Mushroom Moon.
Like Space Castaway. Anyways. So
Moonshroom?
The space agency first considered the possibility of fungal space habitats in 2018. Really only 2018?
Space Castaway is actually the movie The Martian.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've seen that before. It's pretty
good.
Have
you seen it? It is pretty good.
I saw it in class.
I saw it on an airplane.
It's pretty good. Anyways, but now scientists are conducting tests to determine how well mycelia fungus might grow on Martian soil, space.com reports. If the research pans out, it would allow future astronauts to construct off-world settlements without needing to carry expensive, heavy building materials with them all the way to Earth, a game-changer in the plan to colonize space. All right, colonizing space starts with mushrooms.
It is kind of a cool concept that, like, you don't have to bring all the building materials. You can just have a space station that builds itself.
Yeah.
But it's also kind of weird. Like, they don't talk about it in that article, but we've talked about before how there are protocols for like keeping the moon's environment, like untouched. And that's why a lot of people were upset that there was this capsule that spilled tardigrade on the moon.
Yeah.
They were like, you're contaminating the moon's ecosystem.
So it just now occurred to me that
having a mushroom base grow on the moon would also contaminate the pure ecosystem.
I thought the mushrooms were the moon.
I thought it was just a base that contained mushrooms, but it's like actually created out of mushrooms.
Made out of mushrooms. Yeah. So like the walls are mushroom.
That's awesome. Yeah. I have thought about how, like, if we put tardigrades on the moon, then, like, 10 million years later, couldn't they evolve into, like, complex organisms?
Perhaps. Maybe. I don't know.
That's why I've always thought that, like, when people say that there could be, like, microorganisms on Mars.
So 10 million years from now, you've got, like, this tardigrade that's, like, working at a desk on the moon.
It's, like, giant tardigrade.
Doing some paperwork.
But, like, people say that, like, there's all these, like, microorganisms on Mars, but, like, wouldn't they have evolved by now? You know,
maybe. I don't know how this works.
In different timelines, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a astrophysicist.
Some interesting to think about. Henry, you want to give us your story?
Astrobiologist.
Okay, my story is sort of about science, I guess. If we really want to go with the theme, Pet Sounds. Spotify unleashes podcast for lonely UK dogs.
That is very scientific.
I think
it's a dog podcast.
There's a dog podcast specifically for lonely dogs.
This is what you should have done. Your scientists were too busy thinking.
That is a good use
of that drop.
Yeah.
I don't know if this has anything to do with science or if this is really an entertainment and
this
podcast.
This is very scientific.
It's kind of scientific. Basically, Spotify created... Spotify like had like a survey for people in the UK, and 1/4 of the people said that they let their dogs listen to music, and 1/16 of people said that their dogs even dance to music, which is kind of funny.
Dogs do that.
And
you said dog do.
And apparently most pet owners like think that music would help calm down their dog. So they made a podcast with basically just a bunch of calming noises and like calming voices from Ralph and Einstein and Jessica Rain.
They kind of ripped us off, though, because, like...
Yeah, like, we're a podcast.
Maisie is already an official podcaster.
I don't think she cares about our podcast, though, to be honest.
She interrupts our podcast all the time.
She hasn't even subscribed.
Oh, yeah.
She gets on the podcast all the time.
Subscribe.
But basically, they made a podcast called My Dog's Favorite Podcast, which is kind of overgeneralizing. But in the article, it says that it's basically made out of just... relaxing voices is dog-directed praise stories, and then a bunch of ambient sounds such as light rain and rustling leaves.
So are you saying that we live in a day and age where dog ASMR is a thing?
Yes.
This is amazing.
It also says that providing dogs with varied auditory enrichment can be used to reduce stress and anxiety over long periods of time. So basically the idea is that like when pet owners leave and then the pets are all alone, like when the owners aren't there, then you can just put on the podcast and they won't be lonely anymore.
that's kind of sweet, actually.
I know a lot of people's dogs like watch TV and get excited when they see other dogs on TV. I don't know. I've never noticed any of our dogs doing that.
Well, there was that one time when
Maisie barks at her reflection.
That one time before we adopted Sarah, when you were kind of like... investigating other dogs to see like if we found one that was right for them. When he had that one dog, what was his name? Like Mickey?
Pepper?
No, it was like something started with an M.
There Kitty? Were a few.
It was a Boston Terrier who was like super
crazy. Oh, Missy?
No, it was like Mickey or something like that.
I don't remember.
Wait, what are you talking about?
But I remember like we were watching like Gravity Falls or something.
Before we adopted a dog, we had some foster dogs over.
Oh, yeah.
I think you started calling him Bruce. But we were watching like, oh, yeah. I think it was Gravity Falls, and they were like trying to hack into a computer, but it kept on making a sound. And the dog kept on barking at that.
Yeah. I've seen dogs before where like the doorbell will go off on a TV show and they like start barking.
Yeah.
Because they think someone's at the door.
That's great.
Yeah. All right.
I have one last science story.
Science! Because we don't have enough science stories, I guess.
Yes. Lots of science on this podcast. They've discovered the oldest material on Earth. Do you want to guess how old this material is?
Oh, wait. Can I guess what the material is? Do we already know about it?
You can guess what the material is. You probably know. It's not that hard to figure out.
I'm going to say it's 3.5 bajillion.
Iron?
I think 3.5 bajillion years.
Billions of years, I'm guessing.
Bajillions of...
Serious guesses, Will. Serious guesses.
Like 2 billion? I'm not sure how long the Earth has been around.
How old is the Earth? Alexa, how old is the Earth?
Earth is 4.54 billion years old.
Earth is 4.4 billion. How old is the oldest material on Earth?
So I'd say 3.7 billion, like 4 billion.
I'm guessing older than the Earth.
It is 7.5 billion.
Okay.
That's awesome.
That was
the oldest
my
material on the Earth. It is basically stardust.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, yeah. How did I not predict this?
It was found inside an asteroid.
That is awesome.
So,
I forgot that the Earth is made of stardust.
Well, this particular stardust was found inside a portion of what's called the Murchison meteorite, a meteorite that fell on Australia in 1969. And they took fragments of the meteorite, crushed it down into powder, and then... they took the pieces and segregated them into a kind of paste. And one of the scientists, Jenica Greer from the Field Museum in the University of Chicago, says it has a pungent characteristic, kind of like rotten peanut butter.
It's so weird thinking
it's
about
stardust.
How
stardust.
Like,
then they dissolve it in acid. Sorry to interrupt. What were you going to say?
It's so weird thinking about how like the building blocks for the universe are stardust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they dissolve it in acid, leaving only the stardust. And one of the scientists says it's like burning down the haystack to find the needle. but then they get the stardust, and then it was a little bit interesting to find out how they determine how old it is. They say they basically look at how many times it's interacted with cosmic rays over the years. The same scientist uses this analogy. He says it's kind of like putting a bucket out in the rain, and then you measure the rain, and you can know like how much rain there is.
I guess that makes sense.
But you do that with galactic rays.
That's awesome.
And they determine that these little bits of stardust embedded inside a meteorite was 7.5 billion years old, like one of the oldest... the oldest materials I've ever found.
I wonder if they're going to try to search for more stardust now.
I'm sure they will. I mean, they do this type of science.
But yeah, isn't it weird, like, thinking about how all of us are technically made out of stardust? I guess you could argue that, like, if something is modified, like, so much, it, like, is pretty much no longer based off of that original thing. But, like, I don't know. That's weird to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was the news. Lots and lots of science today. Okay, let's do a segment. Let's do a hypothetical. What I just said was only
hypothetical. Whoa. It's been a while since I've heard that drop.
I've got a couple of hypotheticals here. From the subreddit Hypothetical Situation. Here is one, and some of them on that subreddit are good. Some of them are terrible, like anything in Reddit.
Yeah.
Some of it's just a waste. But
it's an accurate summary of Reddit.
Are actually pretty good. This one I liked. It is from Reddit user WaffleCat3367.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a username.
They definitely joined in the year 2008.
And the name of this hypothetical is, every 37 days you get a super apple. I like the way this is written. It just as an aside... I like when you're going to craft something, I like it to have something specific, like 37 days. No particular reason.
Yeah, like not even like 30 days or anything.
It's a good thing.
So
Every 37 days, you get a, quote, super apple. If you eat the super apple, you become three times as fast and you can jump three times as high. It makes you invincible and you become strong enough to punch through a brick wall. However, it only lasts 3 seconds. There is no negative side effect. If you eat two super apples at the same time, you only get the side effects of a single super apple. There can only be a maximum of 10 super apples in existence. If there is 10, then no more will spawn until one is destroyed.
Can you at least, like, take multiple bites out of it?
Wait till I finish the hypothetical, okay? If there is 10, then no more will respawn. I already said that. Super apples don't queue up to be spawned if there's already 10. The spawning process will just be paused. The super apple spawns in your bed. Anyone can eat a super apple, but only you have super apples spawning for you, meaning you are the only source of super apples.
Sell them.
You know,
science cannot figure out what causes the super apples' power. The super apples are also seedless. The only way to get super apples is to wait for them to spawn.
You know, okay. This does kind of
sound like that's the end of the hypothetical. So,
this does kind of sound like a user named Wafflecat wrote it.
Yeah, so yeah. Wafflecat did not provide any questions, so we have to provide our own questions. I assume the implied question here is, what would you do in the scenario? How would you handle it?
Okay, here's my opinion. So you'd sell them, and then obviously, since you'd be famous for it, you'd have to sell them for, like, I don't know, $1,000 each. But
well, I think it'd be more than 1,000. I think they would be extremely valuable because they're extremely rare. You're the only one who has the source of super apples, and there's only 10 in the world at any one time.
But then the problem with that is that people are going to try to rob you. So when someone tries to rob you, you should eat the super apple and punch them out the window.
So what sort of uses do you think they have for super apples? I mean, obviously, like, the military would be interested because you could create a super hero.
I mean,
a super soldier, but only for 3 seconds at a time, though.
I'm just wondering, like, can you take a bite out of it and then wait an hour and then take another bite
out of it? No, but you can run faster. So, like, in a battlefield, you could eat it since you're invisible, can jump higher and run faster. You could just run straight at them and just, like,
could you, like,
kill a commander.
Could you, like, periodically take bites out of it, like, throughout the day?
It sounds like you just eat it, and then you have three seconds of power.
Okay.
So
and I guess it just disappears once you take a bite.
The other uses for it would be, obviously, athletes.
Yeah.
You know, like if you were LeBron James. I feel like
that would be banned. That would definitely be banned.
That definitely seems like that would be against the rules, right? Like, well, there's 3 seconds left on the clock. Hurry, eat a super apple.
I like the idea of them eating it at the beginning, and they're like, super fast, and they outspeed everyone, and then they
just trip.
Yeah,
when the speed's gone.
Think, like, if you're someone who can't normally dunk a basketball, after you eat a super apple, you can dunk a basketball.
I mean, if you want to just, like, go get a pizza or something, you can just run to the pizza store and back.
So they're extremely rare, which means they would be really high in priced because you're the only source.
And there's only 10 times on the earth. So, yeah, you definitely have to use them. I guess that's one thing
you could just make it a business where you're like, hey, you know, there's probably rich people out there that want to experience the super apple and be willing to pay, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars to do it.
So here's what I do. I carry around a backpack with 10 super apples, and I'd have to, like, refill them eventually. And if there were 10 at once, I'd just eat one, I guess. And then, like,
I think you're right, though. Like, if people knew that you were carrying them around,
then people would try to rob you. They can eat one and then punch out the window as fast as possible.
So if it only lasts, like, 3 seconds, you have to be careful not to do anything that you can't undo. Like, you can't run up a building and then, like, it wears off and you're just, like, on the top of a building and you can't get down.
Like, this whole thing about being able to punch through walls, your timing needs to be really good, because otherwise, like, if you eat it and then you wait a couple seconds and try to punch a wall, by the time your fist hits the wall, it might have worn off and you'd be like, oh, I just broke all the bones in my hand.
So, like, yeah, you need to make sure to not do anything that you can't undo. So, like, don't run to the moon and then just be like, well, crap, I'm stuck on the moon.
I'm all out of super apples. I don't think you can run to the moon, because it's not like three times as fast as you can run now will get you to the moon.
Like, first person that's gets true. To the moon since 1969. They're like, how did he get there? I ran out of super apples.
I don't know. Like, what else does this hypothetical suggest? So other than, like, athletics or military use, what other use might there be? I guess you could, you know, maybe emergency super apples for someone who's, like, drowning or exhausted.
I think I would use
them. Yeah, like, I'd carry them in a backpack for emergencies.
I think it would be easy to just kind of, like, waste them and just do one and just run super fast
or
something.
Or someone falls into a hole they can't get out of, you can throw them a super apple, like the person on the last podcast who fell into the, the black hole.
The 8-foot hole.
Throw him a super apple. I think I would do it for, like, I think I would use very simple, like, means of it. So, like, I wanted to go get food, then I'd run there and back, or, like,
it's only three times your speed, so.
So what I'm wondering
is,
like,
this hypothetical make anyone else think of Super Mario Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I definitely was thinking like video games.
It's basically like the superstar, right?
This feels like some sort of, like dumb, like, useless thing that someone would tweet out, kind of.
But it's fun to talk about. That's why it's fun to talk about. Yeah. I like that they put as many details in the hypothetical as they did.
I think whoever wrote this was high on super apples.
I got another one that's just really quick and funny. You want to hear this one?
All right.
I have to find it again.
Although, actually, I do have one more thing to say about the super apple. So, like, does it work like the Flash, where, like, since he runs twice as fast, or since he runs, like, 10 times as fast, he burns, like, 10 times the calories?
No,
so
there's no side effects. There's no side effects.
Well, that's not really a bad side
effect. The super apple itself is giving you the energy, right?
But, like, well, when the Flash runs, he, like, burns, like, that
it's
many
only
calories.
Only for 3 seconds.
But I still feel like it could be really good for exercise.
It could be, potentially. Maybe.
If you're really rich.
Yeah. All right, so this next hypothetical actually does come with its own question, which is handy.
Is this one also from Reddit?
This makes me laugh. This is also from Reddit. It says, so what would happen if you and your best friend, this is from Reddit user Into My Rabbit Hole. So what would happen if you and your best friend were carrying a wardrobe up the stairs? You were walking backwards and your friend was pushing it up from behind. While you were almost at the top of the stairs, a police officer breaks down the front door and yells at you to put your hands up. The cop seems to think that you're hiding a gun behind the wardrobe. If you or your friend let the wardrobe go, it will fall and crash your friend. But if you do nothing, the officer might assume you're hiding a weapon. The police officer seemed extremely jumpy. What would you do in this situation?
Couldn't you kind of just like step around it and kind of angle it so that, like, when you drop it, it doesn't hit your friend? Your friend
no, you're on staircase with a wardrobe.
Well, so your friend could, like, step to the side of it.
This is the classic horns of a dilemma, right? You've got a dilemma. Neither option seems really great. What do you do?
I would just be like, okay, we're showing you the wardrobe. Just hold on, like, 5 minutes while we take it down
the
stairs.
I think the real question is, do you kill your friend or do you go to jail?
Well, I don't think it's going to jail. I think more the hypothetical is assuming the police officer might shoot you because he feels like you're...
Well, might shoot you versus your friend will die from a wardrobe.
I think
I would just continue carrying it up and say...
Maybe he'll just be injured.
I'm more into just
maybe,
like...
No. He will die. It's a wardrobe.
I'm more into just, like, figuring out a way around this. I would try to, like, reason with the police. I know reasoning with the policeman is, like, a bad idea.
I think
usually,
that's the right answer, is you got to try to communicate. Say,
yeah. And I do know that, like,
sorry, I can't put my hands up
right
now.
I want to comply, but I can't drop this wardrobe right now.
And I don't recommend trying to, like, reason and, like, rationalize with policemen in these types of cases, usually. I think this is, like, a special case, though.
Well, it's they definitely say if you're in that type of a situation with a police officer, you need to comply. Compliance,
the one time
like comply first, explain yourself later. Don't, like, confront the police officer or anyone, you know, pointing a gun at you. But you don't have any good options here, so you need to try and say, somehow communicate that. I would like to, just a minute, just a second, we need to put this down first, and then I'll put my hands up.
Yeah.
Or you could just drop it on your friend and be like, you have been arrested for secondhand murder.
Maybe I could be like,
and the police could arrest himself.
Maybe I could try to angle it so it kills my friend and the policeman.
Wow.
I think that solves all of my problems.
I suppose that's what.
Or maybe the friend would be smart enough to think, wait, he can't drop it. It's a wardrobe. Don't tell him to raise his hands.
Well, maybe don't be super, like, confrontational about it. But I think this is the one time when, like...
I think you have to speak in as calm a voice as you can and try to communicate.
This is the one time when you need to kind of, counter-argue against the...
Somehow say, I would like to comply, but I can't right now. Give me just a second.
Yes. Yeah. This is the one case when... I'm sure there's other, like, weird scenarios out there, but... usually just like cooperate with policemen.
Yep. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself.
So Elizabeth's here now. She sneaked in.
Hello.
Very quietly. Hello. So that no one noticed.
Yeah.
Here she is. She's going to join us for Treat Yourself.
She's actually here the entire time. She just was silent.
Yes, totally obviously.
Quiet. She said,
I was waiting and watching.
I don't want to participate. Leave me alone.
No, I was inside the... one of the kitchen cabinets, just kind of crouched in there and like waiting for my opportunity to crawl on out.
I've got some candy. Two of them are candy bars, one I would call candy chews, that appear to be new, although none of the packages say new on them, but they're new to me. I don't know if anyone here has tried these. We have Twix cookies and cream.
Ooh.
That are like Twix, but with cookies and cream instead of...
Wait, didn't we do these already? I feel like we might have.
I don't know.
I don't think we did.
No, I think we did the Oreo things. The Oreo bars.
Yeah, it was something else.
I think we did something similar, but maybe not.
Yeah, it was something. It was something similar.
Okay. We have salted caramel Milky Way.
Okay.
Which I guess is like Milky Way, but they put salt in the caramel.
Yeah, I guess they just caramel. They salted
like the
it.
And the one I'm the most interested in, Skittles dips.
I've seen
those. Skittles with creamy yogurt flavored coating.
Oh.
Okay. I like wait. I have
a
question.
I was on board until I heard creamy yogurt. That's weird.
I feel like my question is why, but also I feel like they're going to be better than normal Skittles.
Do you not like Skittles?
I think they're okay.
Skittles are great.
I just have to say, like, from a marketing perspective, creamy yogurt does not sound appetizing.
Yeah. I'd be on board if it was, like, Fun Dip stuff, but, like...
Do you not like your yogurt creamy?
It's just the two words together. Maybe I'm weird.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't.
Yeah, creamy it does sound yogurt. Weird together.
Creamy yogurt. Like, no. I wish you wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wish you wouldn't say it like that.
Honestly, every time I try Skittles... I feel like I'm always disappointed because I thought they were M&Ms.
Ah, Skittles are great. What are you talking about?
All right. Which should we try first?
Probably one that won't get stuck in our mouth. So probably Milky Way.
Milky Way seems it has just like as likely to get stuck in your
mouth. It seems like Twix.
No, I mean like the flavor won't get stuck in your mouth.
I don't know. I mean, they're all about the
can
same
we do
that
Twix?
Way, I think. Let's can. We'll do cookies and cream Twix first, I guess.
And then Milky Way and then Skittles. That sound good?
Sure.
Is it a little frozen?
Nope.
I realized on the way over here that my two of my favorite Japanese movies both directly involve punk music as like a main plot line. Isn't that weird?
It's an interesting point.
Thank you for sharing.
That is completely tangential to what we're doing.
Completely.
Thank you for sharing your inspirational story.
All right. Everyone take a little piece of cookies and cream Twix.
All right.
Your daughter can have a cookies and cream Twix as a treat.
What?
As a treat yourself.
What's the other one besides Fish Story?
Linda, Linda, Linda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That one's good.
It's also a good one. I don't think we have done these before because I sort of remember whatever we did, I didn't really like it, and I kind of like this.
Yeah, it's really good.
I feel like you can only taste a slight difference. I feel like
tastes totally different than a regular Twix.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I still like regular Twix better. But for me, Twix is top tier candy bar. It's one of the best candy bars. Probably top four or five for sure.
I think Butterfingers beats it personally.
Yeah. Really? But it gets stuck in all the crevices possible.
But does that matter?
Then you can savor the flavor.
This is pretty good. The cookies and cream Twix is pretty good. It's a chocolate cookie instead of a vanilla cookie in the Twix.
I liked it okay, and I don't usually like cookies and cream, and I'm not crazy about Twix, but this was pretty good. I would still say Twix is above this, but
can we just candy, all so agree that's delicious?
It's candy, so I automatically give it a delicious.
Yum, yum, yum. Well, delicioso.
No, because I don't always think candy is delicious. Sometimes especially the new flavors of candy bars, sometimes they mess it up.
There are some weird, like, obscure candies out there that are just gross. But
I don't think candy bars are all delicious.
What about,
I think there are some candy bars I don't actually like.
When it's like
what about the weird the stuff you got in your Halloween candy that you then like hid in my pulse?
That was me actually.
The weird guava candies.
I'm not sure if those are safe.
I threw most of them away and then I started hiding them in me and your
room. I'm not sure if those are meant to be eaten. They could be like dishwasher tablets or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Milky Way salted caramel is the next one. Okay. Salted caramel Milky Way, as predicted, tastes like a Milky Way, and they sprinkled some kosher salt in there.
Yep. I think it's,
it's pretty good.
I mean, I think it's a slight improvement.
Milky Way
yeah, weirdly.
Is a lower tier candy bar.
Your opinion is wrong.
Your opinion is objectively wrong.
If I were at the grocery store counter and there were like all the candy bars in front of me, I would pick out at least 15 candy bars before I got to a Milky Way.
I mean, I think
you're
Milky
allowed
Way
to
is,
be wrong. This is your podcast. Okay, no. You're totally allowed to
Elizabeth,
totally
you're allowed
opinion.
To be wrong as well. I think
I am, but it's not in this area.
I agree with William about one thing. I don't think it's hurts. I think if anything, it might help it slightly.
I mean, Milky Way is just Snickers, but a bit more boring.
As a Milky Way enthusiast, don't mess with the. You've already got a good thing going.
So yeah, it's
the
a slight
original
improvement.
Milky Way and the what is it? Dark chocolate version. I don't remember what they call
it. That's true. I don't think it helps it that much, but I think it just helps it like a tiny bit. Yeah.
I'm gonna rate it a meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Really?
M-E-H.
You really don't like Milky Way?
Excuse me.
I'll give it a delicious.
Excuse me, delicious.
It's a Milky Way.
Yum 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 yum.
I mean,
yum.
I just think there are better ones. But yeah, I do think the packaging makes you think that you're in for more than it really is because like. The packaging
it's like a nice
gives
weird
patterns and has this like light blue color when it's really
it's a really attractive packaging. Like, I'll give the design to
it's wait, really just wait, Milky Way with a bit of salt, though.
But, Dad, why don't you like it? Do you really hate Milky Way that much?
Milky Way is not a good candy bar.
Excuse me.
It's good.
It's just
there are
like
better
Three
ones,
Musketeers. Where do you stand on Three Musketeers,
I don't know.
Though.
There's not enough contrast between the nougat and Milky Way is like the worst nougat of any candy bar.
What? It's chocolate nougat.
It's basically like you take a Three Musketeer and you put a little bit of caramel in there.
And
Three Musketeer is not very good either.
I'm going to be the fence sitter and say that. I'm going to be the annoying fence sitter and say that it's good, but there are much better ones out there.
I don't think
we got a rating from Elizabeth. What did you think of the salted caramel?
I think it's still delicioso. I would take it as a nice counterbalance to something salty to like a movie theater or in a. I wouldn't turn my nose up at it. If it ended up in my Halloween candy bowl.
Henry, what about you?
All right.
I already gave it delicious.
The last one
I'm not sure whether it's an improvement or not.
Skittles dips.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there.
Which, as near as I can tell, they're just Skittles that they put like in the kind of yogurt that's over like yogurt raisins or yogurt peanuts.
Yeah,
doesn't seem right.
I won't like this. But
all right, I'm passing around.
I'm open to...
Take a couple because there are different flavors.
Oh. I like a lot of like Skittles varieties. Like Skittles Sours are really good. Or the Skittles
berries. Favorite flavor. Do you have a favorite flavor of Skittles?
Remember when they?
I'm still annoyed that they have
they
green
had
apple
lime
instead
ones?
Of lime.
Yeah,
lime
the lime
good.
Ones were so good.
Yeah,
I don't know what my favorite Skittles thing is. I guess the sours are pretty good.
I like.
Sorry,
you're blocking out all my important Skittles opinions. The lemon and the whatever one is red, I really like. I like them together.
Cherry,
too.
Probably.
Cherry. It's red flavor.
I like the
strawberry
blue
on
one.
This package. It says that the flavors are strawberry, grape, green apple, lemon, and orange.
Okay, so some
orange. Lemon's pretty good.
Let's try them. I think I'm fully on board with the yogurt Skittles.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I like them.
I think the first Skittle that I had, I wasn't really sure how I felt about it, but that's actually surprisingly really good.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
I hate it. I hate it so much. It's awful. You know those yogurt-covered raisins that, like, when you were maybe 5 years old?
I kind of
love those.
I like those.
No, I liked them when I was 5 years old, too, because I didn't have much going on in my life.
No, we still like them.
But then I grew up, and I grew my adult... taste palate and realize that
Elizabeth,
the yogurt
was your childhood that bad that you
I also
don't
really like the
return to it.
I also really like the like.
No, I just am able to. I'm not able to appreciate it because it's waxy and it's terrible and it's like
the
way
orange,
too sweet.
Okay, I think all
I like
of us
the orange
can agree.
Cream covered
and
raisins.
they just sort of slapped a coat of that on top of the Skittles and the flavors don't go together at all. It's overwhelmingly sweet. The textures don't go together at all. It's like waxy and.
You're allowed to be wrong.
In my opinion, the yogurt doesn't harm the flavor. It's just kind of there. So I'm going to give it delicious.
No, it absolutely overwhelms the
flavor. So are you going to say that it's...
gross.
Yeah, you're going to say it's
gross. So gross.
And that's just somebody who like really likes candy.
They're very
not gross in a while.
It's right, nasty. Well, I don't even feel that strongly about Skittles.
I think
Skittles,
it's delicious.
This ruins
shocking
it.
Twist. We have three people who love them and one who hates them.
Yeah, they're nasty.
Wait, Henry, do you love them or do you just...
I love them. I mean, they're okay, like normal Skittles, but I'm going to give them delicious anyways.
It would be
like
a little Skittles. Messier to eat than Skittles. That was the only thing that I noticed, but yeah. I like them.
But I really like those, like, orange cream covered yogurt raisins.
That sounds disgusting.
No, they're great.
I'd just rather eat regular raisins.
So that is our treat yourself, and that is our podcast. Thanks, Elizabeth, for joining us at the end of the podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, boys, for being on the podcast today. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can email us at talktodadpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download and stream all of our podcasts. We're also on Facebook and Instagram and all that good stuff. Trying to be more diligent about our social media accounts lately. So if you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend. And two, you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. That makes the way podcast searching work so that people can find us a little bit easier. So we appreciate that. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later. Last time.